What's happening? My name is Mick Donaghy and thank you for tuning in to The Recruitment Show, a podcast for recruiters by recruiters. What's happening? This is Mick Donaghy and welcome to another episode of The Recruitment Show. So just wanted to do another really quick episode today about the theme of what do you do when a candidate drops out, a candidate that you've worked on, that you've placed into a position, that you've basically pulled out all the stops and tried to find them the most amazing position that suits exactly what they're looking for. And after a number of weeks, a number of months, you get contacted by the hiring manager or the candidate themselves, and you find out that they're essentially moving on to another opportunity, moving on to a new role or moving country or whatever it may be. What do you do in that particular situation? So it's literally happened to me today, and this is the beauty about podcasting. I'm essentially going to put out things that are happening to me on a day-to-day basis. You know, what am I actually supposed to do in this situation? Now, usually I have a process of the dropout. What do you do, you know? And I'm going to sort of talk you through that. Unfortunately, today was one of those ones that, you know, that come up, and it's quite frustrating because you really want to do something, but it's like, well, fuck, I don't know what I can do here, you know. So talking you through this particular position of mine, candidate I placed in February, January, it's now February. Basically, a contractor, someone was coming out, basically coming down to Auckland from up north, wanted a new position, wanted a contract role, and I basically found something for him for 6 months. Negotiate a really good salary, $155,000. The actual job was 3 kilometers away from his house. And basically everything was rosy, exactly what he has done before, really good money, 3 kilometers away from his house, no traffic, not having to deal with all that sort of burden of you know, waking up really early, having to leave work early or leave really late to get the site or get to the job, whatever it might be. So yeah, basically, out of 5 boxes, it definitely ticked at least 4. So pretty much checked in on the first week, you know, seen how it was, all good. And then a week and a half later, bam, just get hit with this in the face. So got basically an email through a couple of hours ago, saying that this candidate's leaving. And, you know, what are you supposed to do in that sort of situation? Now, what I would normally do is find out exactly what's going on, right? So speaking to the candidate, and I, a lot of the time candidates don't want to speak to you during that process. They're embarrassed. They don't really want to get an angry recruiter ringing them through. They don't want to have to deal with that problem. You know, they'll just basically brush it off their shoulders and move on to the next one. You know, there's more recruiters out there than there probably is jobs. So they're like, well, you know, let's move on. So typically what I try and find to do is I find out exactly the reason why they're dropping out. You know, why is it that you're moving on to another option? What's not right with this particular position? Is it the job? Is it the responsibilities? Is it you know, the person that you're working with or the person that you're reporting to? Is it the project itself? What is it that's not basically floating your boat? And then also try and find out the intangible sort of things. You know, are you happy? You know, obviously not. Is your family happy? Is your missus happy? You know, is your partner happy? Whatever it might be, you know, a happy wife, happy life. You know, it's very much trying to find out the tangibles and the intangibles. And then you go into sort of crisis management mode, as in getting on top of everything, going down to meet them, meeting them for a coffee, finding out what's going on, getting into the intangibles, getting into the tangibles, and, you know, trying to suss it all out. At that point, you're in more of a position to find out, right, well, this is, you know, he's not happy because he's not getting paid enough, or he's not happy because there's a guy on site that he doesn't like working with. Now, it could be that person that he's working with on site, he doesn't actually need to work with. You know, that they could be in a completely separate job role, and it could just be management around that. You know, is it really worthwhile leaving this job, having to go to something else, you know, meet new people, introduce yourself again, you know, tell them what the name of your dogs are. You know, is it really, really worth that? And sometimes it's not, you know, and sometimes you can nearly rescue the position by going, you know what, see, if I can have a chat with the hiring manager or with your boss and say, right, just manage this a little bit better. You know, potentially if there's another desk in the office, put them to that desk, you know, a little bit further away, because sometimes people just don't get on with people, and that's just the way of the world. You know, you want to really find out those reasons why, so you can go to the client and say, right, is there something that we can do? Does this actually have to happen? You know, because we're going to go back to the drawing board. I'm going to have to find a replacement for you. I'm going to maybe have to find another option for this candidate. So what is it that we can do to make this work? You know, and it's about getting into that nitty gritty and finding out those details and seeing if there's any opportunity at the end of the tunnel. So you want to speak to your candidate, you want to speak to your client, you want to find the all the reasons around that, and you want to try and see if you can, you know, mesh a solution together. Now, more often than not, the candidate's made his mind up or her mind up. They want to leave. They want to move on to somewhere else. So you kind of have to, you know, deal with that process. How do you deal with that process? You know, most of us are going to be pissed off. Now, in this particular situation, it was $10,000. You know, it was a 6-month contract, so it was one fee dropped in half. And it was, you know, it is what it is. Still pretty pissed off, to be honest. But, you know, am I going to go and speak to the candidate and say, you know what, you're a fucking dick. You're a piece of work, mate. You know, is it really worth me doing that? Does cross my mind, you know. I'm gonna say it crosses my mind. I put a lot of work into this, you know. We have to advertise, you know, we have to keep our brands high up the pecking order. We have to, obviously, you know, it's my time as well, dealing with clients, you know, doing business development, my time, you know, interviewing candidates, doing references, meshing it all together, making it all happen, and then this all drops out 2 weeks in. You know, am I happy about it? No, I'm not. Am I gonna let it affect me? As in, am I gonna let it, you know, really get me down? And that's something that I think comes with experience within recruitment. You know, back in the day, 4, 5, 6 years ago, I would have went and tore it up. You know, I would have went, you know what, don't ever speak to me again. Don't ever speak to me again. You know, I'd be that immature about it. You know, I'd be taking it as a personal offense, as an attack on me, as an attack on my family, and as if to say, you know what, I'm going to literally do everything I can to take this as a personal insult. And that's the way I would have dealt with it. And nowadays, it's after a while, you get a bit more, you know, longer in the tooth, and you think, is it worth doing that? Because a lot of the time, that candidate can come back on the market again, and you're going to miss out on this 10 grand, but is it worth missing out on the next 20 grand? You know, is it worth missing out on that? In my opinion, it's not. But in my opinion as well, you have to take responsibility, as if to say, have I done something that I shouldn't have? Or is there something that I have done that I could have done better? Was he the right person for the role in hindsight? To be honest, deep down, I probably talked him into it a little bit. Now, I didn't talk him into it that much. You know, when he came out of the interview, he was like, well, it's probably 40% what I'm looking, you know, 40% my experience and my skill set. You know, and I spoke to the client and I went, well, is it really? And the client said no. So I went back to the candidate with the client feedback and went, well, this is what it is. Here's the program of works. This is exactly what's in the program. It's actually more 70, 80% of your skill set. So the reality of it is that individual probably wasn't going in all singing, all dancing. And I probably tried to make it happen a little bit. And that's me being completely honest. You know, if my client is listening to this, I fucked up on that part. But you know what it is? I try to get you an option. There's not very many options on the table. You were happy with him. He was happy with the job, and unfortunately, it's panned out the way it has. So, you, in that respect, you've got to really look: have I done my job properly? Has my client done their job properly? And in some respect, in this particular case, I'm holding my hands up and saying, well, I may have 5% not, you know, pushed it through a little bit. But you can realistically, you can say that's sales, you know, and that's what I do say that is, you know, that is the role of a person in a deal situation, in a, you know, negotiation process. You know, I'm not going to just, you know, take my foot off the pump and say, you know what, you guys just crack on with it. I'm going to do what I can to really suss it all out and try and make it happen. It did make it happen, but seemingly it hasn't lasted. So fuck, what do you do? But anyway, you go on from that and you say, well, is it really worthwhile losing touch with this candidate because I've maybe done something a little bit wrong, and the candidate's maybe done something a little bit wrong, and the client's done something a little bit wrong? Yeah, it's probably not, you know. And as I said, it's taken me a long time to get to that point. And the reality of it is as well, you know, and most hiring managers, most recruitment managers will tell you the exactly the same thing. You've got to have enough balls in the air. You've got to expect 15 to 20% of your placements. There's bad shit's going to happen. And bad shit's going to happen because, as I wrote a post on LinkedIn this morning, bad shit's going to happen when you're in the game. You're going to get kicked when you're in the game. And, you know, I'm in the game, so I'm expecting to get kicked a little bit. The reality of it is, if I'm going to build 90K this month, I'm probably expecting that 15 of that's going to come back to me and go, it's going to come back and bite me. And fuck it, I'm going to have enough balls in the air where I'm actually going to be able to soak that up, and it's not going to make that much of a difference to me. And that's the situation this month. Doesn't really make that much difference to me. So I can speak to the candidate, okay, well, yeah, you are in this process and you have a house and you need a permanent contract to get a house. I can understand that. Wish you had kept me in the loop, you know, over the last 2 weeks, because I may have been able to help a little bit more, and maybe I've been able to negotiate, you know, your contract to be extended for 12 months, and the banks may have accepted that. Reality of it is that you haven't. You have now went over and accepted a permanent job, which kind of hurts me a little bit, because I would have been the one who would have liked to have been in that position to provide that permanent option for you, so I could recoup some of the money I've lost. Am I a little bit pissed off? Yes, I am. But is it worth, you know, shooting myself in the foot on the long term? No, it's not. The reality of it is, you know, it's a small market, candidate short market. So I'll take it on the chin and move on to the next one. Now, this isn't gospel advice. This is kind of how I operate. If you have a chance, jump on to crisis management mode, speak to your candidate, finding out exactly what's going on, you know, really pushing for the answers. Is this really the reason why you're leaving? Is there anything else at all? Are you not telling me something? I can see that something's not right. Can you enlighten me? Asking questions like that can really open up your candidate, you know, and putting yourself on the back foot and saying, you know, here, listen, I'm not here to judge. I'm just here to provide solutions. At the end of the day, the money isn't that important to me. So just tell me the truth. I just want you to tell me the truth. Those sort of questions will ease out the information a lot quicker and a lot, you know, a lot better than, you know, just presuming the answer. Don't presume the answer. The more that you presume, the less control that you have. So jumping on to crisis management and finding out if you can possibly stitch it back together. A lot of the time, it can't be done. And you've got to be self-aware. You've got to have that sort of emotional intelligence to find out, well, this isn't actually worth pursuing any further. Let's just go and take the candidate out for a coffee and say, listen, you admit, you kind of give me the runaround there a little bit, but you owe me one. You know, when you say those words, you owe me one, and they laugh and they shake your hands, they will walk away from the process with a lot more respect than they thought that they were going to have when they handed in the resignation, when they handed in the notice. They were thinking, Mick's going to bring me here and go through the roof. And that's what I want to do. But if you can walk out of the process and you can shake his hand and he's laughing and you're laughing and you take it on the chin a little bit and you say, you look him in the eyeballs and you say, listen, you owe me one. And they'll laugh and they'll go, fuck, I do owe him or her one. And that's the reality of it. Now, where that can go from there is, some of a recruiter placed him into the job, but you're the one who really dealt with a level of maturity. You dealt with that particular situation with a level of professionalism. You know, you went to meet with them, you brought them, you know, you went through the whole process, you've met them for a coffee, you're making light of the situation, you're making them feel a little bit better. They might go into that new role and they might be looking for someone to assist them or someone who's more junior than them, and they can say, "Mick, I do owe you one, and here's me giving it back to you. Now I'm looking for someone to assist me over the next 6 months." And then you might recuperate 75% of the fee that you basically you missed out on, you know. And that's the difference between a senior recruiter and someone who's just in the game, who's just, you know, running around like the Tasmanian devil and just fucking losing their mind. They're going through their process because they're young and they're young into the game, should I say, more so. And a senior recruiter is like, right, I'm gonna hold this, I'm gonna measure this, and I'm gonna suss this all out. I'm gonna take its time. I'm gonna let it play out. I'm gonna manage this professionally, and I'm senior enough to know that I've got enough going on, that I've got, this isn't majorly a big impact on me. That's what we strive to do, not what we're always going to do on every occasion. And that's what essentially I'm having to do in this particular situation. You know, I want to tell them, piss off, mate, you're a prick. But is it worth it? No. So got to think of the long term, got to think of the end game, and I got to think of how I can make a placement out of this candidate again, or how I can place a candidate with that particular individual. So hope you got some insight to that. You know, this is just daily ramblings of the recruitment industry. It's fucking hard what we do. Our product literally in that occasion has changed its mind. It's basically went from one situation to the complete opposite, and you know, everything is turned on its table. But we gotta have enough going on that it's not gonna affect us majorly. We've gotta be emotionally intelligent, we gotta be self-aware and manage the process, we've gotta really get into the nitty-gritty of it, we gotta understand our candidates, we gotta get into that crisis management mode, we gotta look to our client that we're dealing with it and we're a part of it and we're affected by it as well, because we are. But we gotta do that in a professional way. And if you can, we've gotta say to our candidates, listen, you owe me one. And you got to make sure that they do back that up and they do owe you one in the future. So this is the Recruitment Show. This is episode 3. Thank you for joining me. If you've got any feedback for me, I would love to hear from it. Mick Donaghy on LinkedIn, and I'm Mick_Donaghy on Instagram. So I hope you tune in to the next episode, and thank you for joining me. Oh, and just before you go, I'd like to leave you with one of my favorite quotes of all time from the inspirational Martin Luther King Jr. If you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward. Thank you for joining me on another episode of The Recruitment Show. If you're on social, please follow me at LinkedIn at Mick Donaghy, and on Instagram, Mick_Donaghy. Catch you next time on another episode of The Recruitment Show.